This episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway. You can actually sign up for the year. We're offering that right now. We actually offered it all year, but I haven't really talked about it. But you can sign up for the year. You get 15% off. You get all access to Discord. You get BSBOTs and a bunch of other stuff Greg and I like to do, like Q&As and stuff like that. And you get to support this show, which you listen to for some reason. All right, without further ado, we have Molly Walker on the show tonight. Actually, a pretty fun episode. The Rangers have been not so good over the weekend, but I feel differently, and I'm sure some of you will disagree. But without further ado, let's get to Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushwick Breakaway fans, welcome to the week of the Bushwick Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead of Patreon.com, where you could support us, subscribe for the year, get some percentage off, do that today. And I'm also here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, say hello.
Drinking, Ryan, is just becoming too expensive.
It's too expensive, and I also think the real expense is the toll on your body.
Yes, absolutely. I had a wedding this weekend, and Sunday felt like my body was caving in on itself. But that's not really what I'm saying. When I turn 33 next week. I'm old as shit.
That's a fact.
Back in my younger days, you know, there's always such a thing as a drunken purchase, right? Like maybe too much food, maybe like an item.
The too much food at 2 a.m. though is essential, especially when you're in your mid 20s.
Yeah. Those were a different version of Greg. Those were the types of things he was doing when he was drunk.
And what did you buy?
It was great. Wake up on Sunday morning. And I noticed that I now have tickets to opening day at Citi Field.
You bought like this?
No, you know what? In that moment, Greg was like, "Oh, drunk Greg, way to go!" I mean, I don't need these tickets. I don't know if I can go, but
it's not even DeGrom.
This is a nice purchase. And then I also saw that I had about 10 text messages.
No,
I was like, "Well, how many people do I invite to this game?" And it was only 2 tickets, and every text message is, "There's no way you did it. You're an idiot. You can't be serious." And it's to that line of questioning. So I'm like, okay, is this like terror related? Did I like also buy a plane ticket? No, Ryan. I'm going to the Mets home opener.
Yes.
With my Uber driver. His name is Luis. He's apparently a big Mets fan. He and I apparently hit it off splendidly.
You're taking your Uber driver to the opening day Mets game?
That is correct. Yes. So Luis from Long Island, get excited. You and I are going to a Met game that apparently I agreed to do and take care of after this wedding and open bar. Now, the open bar came after the DeGrom news, the Scherzer news,
right.
and the thought of Eric Hosmer being a New York
which
Met.
You're not going to get into the full trade package, but that trade was preposterous. But keep going.
Pee-pee poo-poo, I think, is the easiest way to put it.
To quote a great man who was the coach of the New York Rangers, poopy pants.
Yes. Now, the Hosmer trade, when that was called off, we were already down a road that we weren't coming back from, right?
It was too late for you, Gregory.
It was too late. But I guess the little bit of good news at least put me in better spirits.
Yeah, so you were like, Luis and I, we're going to the game.
Yeah.
That is
real solid shit right there.
Bro.
I can't do this anymore. Dildos, Met games with people I just met. I'm supposed to be maturing as I get older. And I guess like 33, my maturity is now I'm not just making stupid purchases and little purchases. I'm making like life experience purchases that maybe I can't afford.
I picked up my khakis today for my new job and they got caught in my spokes and I flipped over my bike, but I landed on my feet. So that's my whole story. I'm totally fine. There you go.
Are you taking anyone to a Philly game on the back of that
I am story? Not. I did look at the Phillies opening day schedule. It's 3 p.m. on next Friday. I considered going just for fun. Mm. But tickets are too expensive, and I don't care enough about the Phillies at all.
Yeah, I have a company dinner on Thursday during the Mets home opener.
No, Greg!
And the Ranger game. No, not the Mets home opener. The Mets season opener.
Right.
And the Penguins game. So, you know, might Very be needing fun. A job on Friday.
Yeah. That's a possibility. Let's get to what happened over the weekend, because I have some thoughts for the New York Rangers. Let's just get this out of the way, and I think this maybe you'll agree with me. Greg, this team is good. I don't really care what happened versus the Islanders. They came out like looking like shit. Artemi Panarin said, "We shit our pants out there." Gerard Glant's exact quote was, We were horse shit tonight. A lot of shit. No doubt about it. And then in the Flyers game, they got New York Rangered. We're a backup goalie. Absolutely takes over the game at Madison Square Garden. How many times do you have to see this story? How many times do you have to watch it? They came back. They got a point out of the game. You probably had no right getting back into that game. They did. It's what they do all season long. And if you're going to sit here on this Monday afternoon, Monday morning, whatever, Tuesday morning when you're listening to this, where I don't really care when you're listening to it. If you're going to sit there and say, I don't know, this team isn't good enough to make it out of the first round. This season is long, Greg. It is a long, grueling season, especially with the gap from the Olympic break and what they had to do for the next, what is it, 19 games in 31 days or some shit like that. That's a lot. And even for Igor Shesterkin, who's carried this team on his back all year long, we've seen Igor have like just these brief moments of a lapse of concentration when he plays lesser teams. But guess what? When he plays big-time teams that he knows he's going to see later on, he always shows it off, and he always shows up. So, one, why are we ever worried about Igor Shesterkin, especially right now? And two, how could you dare say to me on April 4th, a New York Ranger team that is fourth in points in the league, that is second in the Metro, that has been heavily competitive and fought back and resilient all year long, is just bad because the Islanders will wax them and they had to fight back against the Flyers? The Tampa Bay Lightning, who are very good, by the way, lost to the Canadiens. It happens. All these teams, like Arizona beats teams. They are still NHL players. That doesn't mean those teams are bad. Doesn't mean they're first round outs. I'm still oddly confident that they will do very well against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. I expect them to get out of the first round. I'm not worried about Igor at all. I just think it's hard to have that killer mindset night in and night out. Even Henrik Lundqvist had those nights. You don't remember them because it's Henrik Lundqvist, and he was fucking amazing the whole time, for the most part. But he had nights like Igor had versus the Flyers, versus the Islanders. It happens. But it doesn't mean that this team is bad. Like, what are we doing? Why are we out here even thinking that? How can we even be criticizing? You could be negative. You could criticize the team. You could say certain things, and I definitely want to get into the shootout thing because that pissed me off. But this team is good. I don't know how to tell that. Every team loses. It's totally fine. All they're trying to do right now is get to the finish line and get ready for the Penguins. That's it.
You said a lot of words.
I did. I did a Gregory rant. I'm sorry.
You did. Because your entire point, which is accurate and correct, can be summarized into one phrase. It's every game is not a referendum on the season. It's a one-game sample size that is potentially enlightening about other things we've seen in other games, but it's also just one fucking game.
It's
just one game. Like you said, the New York Rangers aren't going to run the table. If you're expecting the Rangers to win every night, even against teams they're supposed to beat, you're just going to be disappointed, which is what you are on a day like today. It'd be one thing if the Rangers had a spot in the playoffs that was in doubt, right? It's one thing if these points, we looked at them as critical. But I think in terms of how we view where the Rangers currently stand, I think everyone's pretty certain that the Rangers are going to be second or third in the Metro. And I don't get the vibe that anyone's overly concerned about whether the Rangers have four home games or three against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I also see that all the time. Like, hey, I want home ice. Like, dude, does that really matter that much? Like, I know.
Yeah, while we are all, or not we, the collective we, the Ranger Twitter we, while people are freaking out about the Rangers' play, the Capitals have given up 11 goals in the last two games. They look atrocious.
Yeah, the Islanders have a 2%. Excuse me. So I'm got choked up thinking about this. The Islanders have a 2% chance to make the playoffs now because the Capitals have been so bad.
Yeah, the Capitals are capitulating. It's really easy to only view the prism of the season through the glasses of your team, right? And it's fair because I'm not asking people to take this season in as a Dallas Stars fans perspective, right?
No,
a season
never.
Where they're either unbeatable or unwinnable and there's no middle ground for the Stars. I'm not asking you to look at this game from a Calgary Flames perspective. I'm not asking you to look at this game from an Edmonton Oilers perspective. But when we're looking at a season through the lens of one team, we forget that every team just goes through periods where they're not exactly playing up to their standards. When the Rangers beat a team, like when the Rangers beat the Penguins 5-1, feels great, but that's probably a bit better than the Rangers will play on any given night. And then when the Rangers lose 3-0 to the Islanders, well, that's shit, but it's worse than how they're probably going to play on any given night. It's the median and the mean of this team is significantly better than what the Rangers played the last two games. And I don't think the last two games have necessarily enlightened us to anything outside of the fact that, boy,
Ryan Strome
kind of is important. Huh?
Yeah, Strome, he's the glue of this team.
That's honestly my only takeaway. And it's not so much that he's the glue of this team. It's just that, once again, the New York Rangers, even with all the great moves that they made at the trade deadline, if Alexei Lafreniere is not allowed to play right wing, this team was once again one injury in the top six away from potentially not being the complete product we think it is. So if what we saw is, oh boy, Johnny Brzezinski has
top
to try
six
to play
Johnny
the top
Pods.
Six.
Like, that's
top
what we
six
were doing.
Dryden Hunt, which everybody, I don't know. Again, this is not fair to Dryden Hunt when the Rangers ask him to, you don't ask a physics major to build a building, right? It's not what Dryden Hunt is here to do. I don't know. I also don't know if you ask physics.
You might actually ask them to build something.
Yeah, bad example. Let's go with accountant.
Yeah.
You don't ask an accountant to build a building.
Right? Just got to get the supplies. That's it. Help it out.
Yeah, so Dryden Hunt continuously asked to do something he can't do. The Johnny Brzezinski, as much as we like him, is now being asked to do something he can't do. It's this simple. If the Rangers, they made these trades so that when people are healthy, their top nine, not just their top six, is completely rebuilt and different. But they are literally playing without a line of hockey players that is important to this team. No Kako, no Rooney, no Strome. And when Rooney comes back, I'm not 100% that he's able to get in the lineup. But you take out a complete NHL caliber line of players. And yes, the Rangers brought in Vetrano and Kopp. That's great. They brought in Vetrano and Kopp to fill the lineup out when Kako was out. And all we did was take more players out of the lineup because of injury. And the Rangers looked like shit against teams that, at least with the Islanders, they play a system, right? The Islanders have a structure.
The Islanders suck the life out of you. And that's what they do in the Rangers. And especially Varlamov. Oh, my God.
Varlamov.
Who absolutely destroys the Rangers and owns them. Like, totally owns them.
And the Flyers... The Flyers have something to play for right now because they're pissed off with this Yandel situation, which, without having to go too far into it, all I'll say is if the Rangers were in a similar position and they had just signed a free agent who, by the way, was playing like ass all year long, and I had to worry about a games played streak that occurred well before that player ever came to my team, I got news for you. I wouldn't give a shit if he was benched, and I'd probably be on this podcast asking him to be benched much sooner than this point in the season because I need to see how my young kids are doing in a transitional period.
It's not about Keith Yandel's career. It's about the future of your team. You don't own anything. It's not like he's a lifelong Flyer.
But he's been bad all year. Like, it's not like they're taking a good player out of the lineup. Keith Yandel is part of the problem. He's part of the reason why the Flyers are in this position. That's neither here nor there. I enjoyed the Flyer Civil War that was created from it. And I think that's great. But what it also did was it lit a fire under some of the other veterans on the Flyers, and the young kids are playing for something to prove. They're not exactly just the walkover team that they were earlier in the season when they were rudderless and coached by Alain Vigneault, who I desperately miss because I'm pretty sure they would be winless at this point in the season if he was still there.
Happen to agree.
But it's – yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. You're dying.
Yeah, I'm still feeling it from this wedding.
That makes a lot of rum. That makes sense.
A lot of rum.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's – you have to take it to the circumstances with what the Rangers went up against, right? I think this is a point, I think, shockingly, now I was drunk.
Right.
But I believe I saw it on your timeline.
Hit me.
So I must have been really drunk because I was agreeing with you. That Islander-Ranger game, that was their Stanley Cup.
That's it.
That game meant so much to the Islanders. They wanted to shit so badly in this Rangers playoff pool that they got up for that. Flat out, the New York Rangers did not get up for that game.
They were.
But the Islanders did.
Yes. It's their Stanley Cup, Craig. That's what it is. Like, we got up for our games. We knew we wanted to beat the hell out of Tampa Bay, beat the hell out of Pittsburgh. Two teams we could easily see before the Eastern Conference Finals or people we have to pass to get to the Stanley Cup. We have to do that. So the Rangers showed up to both those series and kicked their ass. Cool. That's awesome. They even showed up in the first game versus the Penguins. It was 1-0. They lost, but man, they showed up. The Islander game, Friday night at MSG. I know it sucks because that's what you want to do after a long week. You want to watch the Rangers beat the Islanders. But the Islanders, that's their game. That was it. They were like, we might not make the playoffs, but we're going to beat the hell out of the Rangers at MSG, and our fans are going to love it. And they did, and kudos to them. But that's we're locked into the playoffs. We're 100%. The Ranger team has nothing to play for. They really don't. You don't want the first seed. I know you're like, hey, what if we win the Metro? I promise, you don't want it. Like, it's not something you're interested in right now. I don't want to play with any of those teams. I'd rather play the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm ready to roll. That's it.
Right, and we've said this before, and listen.
I think we said it on OT. If you want to listen to that, you can subscribe to Patreon. Okay, bye.
Yeah, and listen, if the Rangers finish first in the Metro, it's not like Ryan and I are necessarily going to, like, be upset about it. But the reality of the situation is, there's really no situation in which the Rangers overtake whoever finishes first in the Atlantic. So whoever finishes first in the Atlantic is getting the Capitals, which means whoever finishes first in the Metro is getting either the Maple Leafs or the Bruins. And I got to be honest, I'd rather have the Penguins. It's crazy
to
say.
It's an insanity thing for us to say, but that's where we're at.
I understand that Greg Kaplan of fucking Westport, Connecticut, via Poughkeepsie, New York, via Savannah, Georgia, via Troy, New York. All the places I fucking lived. I guess I also lived in Cohoes. That was a place too. I understand that I'm saying I would be more comfortable playing Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang. A trio that has won not one, but multiple Stanley Cups. I feel more comfortable playing them than I do teams in the fucking Atlantic. It's a true statement. There's only one other team I would want to play. And that's the shitstorm that is Washington, but we can't catch Florida. So what does it matter? I am super comfortable. And listen, the Rangers are playing like they are super comfortable.
I literally thought, like, this is a team that doesn't really want to make too many points right now. Like, they could probably catch Carolina if they played their ass off, I'm sure. But you could tell, like, they kind of, and I don't want to use a term we used a lot last year, but they put in some cardio these last couple games. They're not showing up in the first and second. And then Gallant is like, yo, we got to show up for our fans and for our team. And then they pump it in the third. And that's all they've been doing. But in the big games versus Tampa Bay and versus Pittsburgh, they showed up immediately. And they played all 60 minutes. But against these other teams that they don't have to beat, watch them. It's just, they're kind of going through the motions. They need to get to the playoffs healthy. And they know that. They're not stupid.
Well, This is something we've talked about because it's been a trend. It's been a trend definitely since the trade deadline, but it's kind of been a trend all season long where the New York Rangers, they can play with anyone on any given night. They are good enough to do that. However, they also play down to their opponents.
Constantly.
They don't take the lower dreg of the league that seriously. And we've seen it constantly. We've seen them struggle against the Sabres. We've seen them struggle against the Devils. We just saw them struggle against the Islanders and Flyers on consecutive days. This team, if they feel like they have their backs against the wall, they're going to swing, they're going to fight, and they're going to surprise you in certain ways. And we've seen that all year long. But when they're supposed to win, it seems like the team has a, fuck it, we'll get our points, I'm sure it'll be fine mentality, which when you're really good, you can afford to do. And I think the Rangers are good, but I don't know how good. So I want them to take these games a little bit more seriously, but it's like you said, it's like this team, when it's playing a bad team, a lower division team, it allows that team to do whatever it wants to do in the first two periods. And if the Rangers can hang with them, that's great. And then they're just like, all right, well, that's enough of that shit. Now we're actually going to play some hockey. And they turn it on in the third period. But this isn't a recent thing. They've kind of been doing it all year long.
Like, the whole time. I promise. They've just been fighting back in the game since week one. I was like, what is this team? This team is just, like, hanging around all the time. They don't ever win games easily, ever. And they just hang around and then, like, score an empty netter. That's all they do. That's all they do. But they win a lot. And, like, they're good. They've found ways to win all season long. It's disgusting. Can we talk about the Hedel shootout goal or shootout choice?
We can, but I want to start with something.
Hit me
first before we talk into it. I just want everybody unanimously agrees that the shootout is fucking stupid. Everybody.
Yep.
I don't know a single person I've ever encountered who is a big shootout guy.
We've had great shootouts this year as New York Ranger fans that have been fun in the moment, but mostly the shootout is lame, period.
The shootout, no, not mostly. It's fucking lame. Not to quote our great friend and former podcast guest, Rick Carpinello, but it is a skills competition to determine the outcome of a game. And it's wild that we allow this to happen. Everybody agrees that the shootout is stupid. So that's the premise I want this conversation to start at. Because if you agree that something is stupid, who gives a fuck what happens during it? I don't. They could have sent up Ryan Reeves and I would have been like, fine, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. This is stupid what we are doing.
I agree with you. You know, you and I have talked about the Premier League standings of points in the NHL, and that's how I'd like it.
3-1-0.
3-1-0.
3-1-0.
I agree. I'm sure people will complain, whatever. I don't care.
But honestly, Ryan, it's even easier than that. 5 minutes is just fucking arbitrary for overtime. Just make it endless. Sudden death.
You can't do that because it's too much injury. I understand player association.
Bullshit, it's 3-on-3. Nobody's checking at 3-on-3.
That's fair. I would like it to go 10 minutes and then go tie. That's where I would end. But just to go past that, just because I really want to get this out of the way, anybody who was mad about sending Filipino out, I don't understand. If Filipino scores there, like nobody, not one person was upset that Mika Zibanejad and Panarin missed. Nobody. Not one.
Panarin didn't just miss. Panarin fucked up.
Whiffed.
Like, he fucked up.
He had a great game.
By a strong mile.
Panarin had a great game, but not one person was like, man, I can't believe Panarin missed that. What a bust. Like, nobody. But people were all flaming Gerard Gallant for sending Hedl out third. Hedl was benched 3 games by Gerard Gallant. You don't think this is a huge confidence boost that he trusts him in a moment to keep the game alive? Like, that is trusting in a kid. That is developing and a learning moment. Like, hey, actually, I trust you now. I'm going to put the game in your hands. He didn't score. That doesn't matter. It sends a message to Filipino. Did the Rangers need the 2 points? No, they don't. They're locked in. That's it. This was a moment for a later takeaway. All the people are like, you don't understand. You have the wrong philosophy. You play to win the game. This is a shootout. Like, yeah, you have Adam Fox right there. I get it. People are saying Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider's taken 2 shootout goals his whole life. Like, never. It's like, does not happen. So I'm perfectly fine with the Hedl thing. It made too much sense to me. It was Gerard Gallant saying, hey, I believe in you now, and we're all together. I totally get it. Everything's better. I like the way you're playing, and I'm rewarding you for what you've done to get back to my good graces with this shot. That's it. Why is that so hard to understand?
Again, we all agree that shootouts are fucking stupid. That, to me, the fact that anybody is worked up over a decision that happened in something you already think is stupid blows my mind. I don't understand why you are using your energy in that way. He could have sent up Brodzinski, gone to the press conference afterwards and been like, this is the only man in the organization that wears a C, and I wanted my captain taking that third shot with the game on the line. And I would have said, cool, great, I don't care. I care less now than the moment before I even imagined this situation fucking happening. Who cares? But to your point, every game so far this year, the Rangers have gone to a shootout. Gallant has used the third spot as the confidence boost spot. He did it with Lath.
Yep.
He did it with Fox. He did it with Kreider. He did it with Kako. That third spot, Gallant has 2 guys he wants shooting, Mika and Panarin. The third spot, he's like, oh, we're going to try something tonight, and we're going to see if it
here's
works.
Here's a guy that has been down on their luck. Maybe this changes everything for them. There you go.
Yeah, that's it. I do not care. The shootout is so fucking dumb. I can't believe people were upset about it. Here's the thing. I don't know. Score in overtime so you don't have to get to that situation?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not that hard of a concept.
Also, here's a ridiculous statement that people would get angry at me about. Why aren't we angry at Igor Shesterkin allowing the Flyers' first shootout goal of the year?
To Kevin Hayes.
They were 0 for the year.
Yeah, to Kevin Hayes.
0 for the year.
Former Ranger.
But again, no, you can't blame me. I understand.
It's only Gallant and Hedl. Like,
you hear how stupid it sounds coming out of my mouth? Blaming Igor Shesterkin for something that dumb? That's the point. It's all stupid. It's a stupid fucking skills competition at the end of an actual hockey game. And I hate that we have to talk about it and think that it fucking means anything. Just win in overtime. Don't allow this to happen. And then to get angry about it, I don't care. Literally, send up anybody. Send up fucking Igor. Find a way to make that legal, and I'll be thrilled.
All right. Let's do just a couple quick five-star questions. We'll make them short, and then we'll get to Molly in a couple minutes here. This is from Chris from Florida. I'm not worried about Igor and his recent stats. Do you think he's in danger of losing the Vezina? I do not. No. I do not at all.
He's only in danger of losing the heart, and even then, I still think he's doing enough.
I think he's got a chance still, but he's really going to have to turn it on because I think the Matthews has kind of got it locked up at this point, but it's going to be close.
You know, it's funny. If Matthews wasn't a Leaf, this wouldn't even be a discussion.
I agree with you.
It would be an agreement that it's Igor.
I agree. But he is a Leaf, and he's going to win.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when 75% of hockey media is from Toronto.
More than that, probably. But this is from Brian Auti. I'm sorry, Brian, if that's not your last name. How short is Braden's leash going to the playoffs? I would say extremely short. Extremely short.
I mean, is it, though? Justin Braun hasn't exactly – it's been two games, so it's not like me saying Justin Braun hasn't exactly – proven himself yet as a New York Ranger. That it's true because he's only had 120 minutes of opportunity to do so. At the same time, I think Gallant is looking for more reasons to keep Schneider in the lineup than take him out. So I think the leash is, it's longer than we assume it is.
I hope it is. I like Braden Schneider a lot. I think he's done a great job, especially how young he is in the NHL. I feel like Braun's here for a reason, and it's the backup. If Schneider struggles two games, it's over for him. That's it.
Listen, I'm happy Braun is here because, again, the Makes thing sense. We didn't talk enough about at the deadline was the New York Rangers needed a Lieber-Hayek buffer, and they got one, which is great. But I'm also of the mindset, like, listen, you need to give your young kids – in order for kids to gain playoff experience, they have to play in the playoffs, right? And – while I hope the Rangers go on some miracle run, and while I'm confident they could win one playoff series, say they can't, I'd rather lose playing a kid that needs this experience versus the 36-year-old who's been here, done that.
I'm with you on that. I'm actually going to save one of these for Molly because I think it's good. It's, why is Artemi Panarin the same line as Johnny Brodzinski? That's fun. I'm going to save that for Molly. So that's
okay, here she comes.
All right. So let's go over to Molly right now. Transition. Hey, we're back with our only guest of the day. We have Molly Walker of the New York Post. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been way too long.
An absolute pleasure returning to we did try and have you earlier. Just going to throw it out there.
No, you're right. My schedule, I have been on every plane in the tri-state area, it feels like.
What are you
season,
working?
So.
Bullshit. Right.
Yeah, right?
Speaking of working, let's talk about Friday night. Was the Ranger-Islander game the most boring game of the season? Your thoughts?
Yes, in short. And it's funny because when I tweeted about it being boring, the amount of Islander fans who just were like, I thought more people would pick up on the fact that I was using the word boring because I know it triggers Islander fans so much. But if you read my story, you'll know that, yes, even in a boring game, the Islanders thrive in such situations. Like, the Islanders got the Rangers to play the only type of way that the Islanders could win in that sort of game, you know?
That's it. That's the way the Islanders always play the Rangers, where it's like, hey, let's make this the most boring game possible, and we're going to suck the life out of the arena. And it's going to be a miserable time for everybody except Islander fans and us. And that's exactly what they did. And that game was over pretty much from the start. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Produced an A1 post game, my guys. Just an A1 Twitter quote. Like fury,
the New York
of a post game.
Yes, sir.
The headlines were endless, and it was so funny after Panarin and Mika walked out of the press room. The other writers were like, "Oh, so we'll see in the New York Post horseshit headline, you know, because we're the only paper that can actually print the words." I'm pretty sure. So everyone was like, "We'll see it in ink tomorrow in the New York Post for sure." But I mean, that's, you know, we appreciate that definitely. Makes it for endless content.
Panarin doesn't care. He's just having a great time.
Yeah. Do you think it was just like the post-game wrap up from Gallant before he got to the media was just, well, that shit sucked, and then left the locker room, said that, and everyone was like, hey, what's your reaction to the game? And everyone's looking at their cue card, and they're looking at what Gallant said post-game, and like, all right, well, I guess we're just sticking with this. We're going to go with shit.
Yeah, no, it was... You know, I asked him the first question and, you know, he comp because I said it was something about the Islanders' style of play. And, you know, that's just what they can do to you. And he was like, yeah, the Islanders play great. We were horseshit. And I just was like, in that moment, you know, I wasn't expecting it. And I was trying really hard not to laugh And then when Panarin came out and his interpreter tried to clean up his translation and said, dirtied our pants, the same thing. I really was like, wow, I'm about to burst out laughing right now if they don't have this room.
What up?
Because I just got like the giggles.
were those quotes better than, I believe, was it the Mika 5-goal game where Quinn just walks up to the podium afterwards and goes,
well, that happened.
So that happened. And then just didn't add anything else to it.
Yeah. No, honestly, because of the expletives, it was just even better. It was even better. And Panarin's, you know, Vince said to me, I don't want to take away Vince's content, but he said he walked up to the interpreter afterward and was like, you know, I just want to double check what the real translation is. And apparently the real Russian translation is deposited in our pants.
We made a deposit.
So that we're all cracking up about that as well because of the real translation.
The New York deposits.
Oh, it's too funny.
I love it. We talked about earlier on the show before you came on how we still think this team is actually quite good despite the two losses. Yes.
No panic button.
I couldn't be less panicked. Let's talk a little bit about some of the acquisitions. Andrew Kopp, obviously, Frank the Tank.
Hold on. If we're talking acquisitions, let's do this properly. Molly, Bobby Trevino, let's start this off right.
Fine. Thank you, Greg.
Greg, thank you. Thank you for the respect.
Yeah, thank you. I understand who we have here. I understand the Minuteman legacy, and I would like you to now enlighten us, Ranger fans, what we can expect from the little man with big shoes.
Yes, Bobby Trevino. I mean, there's really not much to say except for he really, in the eyes of the UMass hockey program, is right up there next to a guy named Cale Makar, which is a pretty lofty comparison, you know, to have a Calder Trophy winner like Cale Makar, who's now chasing a Norris Trophy. But Bobby is he's a workhorse, you know, heart of the lineup kind of kid and just an absolute pest. And I covered him his freshman year. So I haven't seen him play up close since then. So I'm sure he's made a lot of improvements in his game. And I talked to Coach Greg Carville about it too. So he's definitely made the necessary advancements in his game to translate at the NHL level. And we all know Carville is not afraid to say whether he thinks a game is going to translate to the NHL. He's basically said Zach Jones needed another year, which might not have been far off. As we've seen in his first couple games in the NHL. But Bobby is, you know, he'll start in Hartford, but he really could make an impression on management. And I think that especially with the Rangers cap situation, it would be ideal for him to be a little bit, you know, on a fast track, I guess, and potentially, you know, give them some depth up front. But I the one thing I think you need to know about Bobby is when the UMass went to the national championship his freshman year, my senior year, and they got blown out in the championship game, Bobby was suspended actually from the game before that on a play that didn't even get called. It wasn't even a penalty. It was like a blindside for UMass. And I remember talking to Coach Carville recently about it, and he was like, everybody in that locker room knew how big of a loss it was. And he was like, not everybody knew how bad of a loss it was. And you know, he said by no means did he think that they were to win that game because they did get blown out, but he said he would have made a difference. And I said to Coach Carville, I said, us over at the Daily Collegian, the student newspaper, knew how big of a loss it was, because he really is just one of those guys that makes the team click and is just a gel guy too. So I think Rangers fans should be really excited about him for sure.
Can we talk a little about what he's actually going to bring to the Rangers? Obviously he's a very tall at 5'8" here. The Rangers are used to a short player named Matt Zuccarello, who is still performing quite well in the league. We're not expecting Matt Zuccarello out of Bobby. That's impossible shoes to fill there.
Right, but very big shoes.
But he could project as a fourth line, possibly a middle six player. Who knows?
Yes.
So give me a little bit about what his game is going to bring to the Rangers.
I definitely think when I think of Bobby Trevino, I just think bottom six pest. You know, he's a guy that's going to frustrate your opponents to all holy hell. Like, he is going to be in their faces, get a stick in every lane, smother them along the boards. Just a real hardworking kind of player. But as far as his size, Carville said that he's made up for it a lot with his skating. The way that he's able to maneuver on the ice kind of makes up for, you know, the lack of size and not being able to be as physical. So he's able to kind of get to the dirty areas of the ice because you almost like lose track of him because he's pretty fast and he's got decent skating ability. So I think that that'll really translate to the NHL for him. But his big asset is just being a pest and, you know, annoying opponents and getting under their skin and, you know, just someone that you would like to have on your team rather than going up against for sure.
The Rangers are going to be big headline from Blue Shirts Breakaway this weekend. Bobby Trevino, big ass. No problem. totally checks every box that I need to hear from him.
I hope they cut that because.
Oh, no.
I
think Ryan found the headline for the episode this week.
It'll definitely get you clicks. That's for sure.
The original thing Ryan was trying to ask before he understood who the hell we were talking to. We have said fairly rosy and complimentary things of Chris Drury on this podcast since the trade deadline. In your view, could the trade deadline have gone better for the Rangers, or do you think they didn't do enough?
You know, I think that they did enough to give themselves a fair shot come the first round. I don't think that Drury was willing to, you know, upend the prospect cupboard, and, you know, he did kind of clear out the top picks for the next 2 years, but he kind of got almost one for one, obviously, except for Winnipeg with Andrew Kopp. He gave up Morgan Barron there, but still hanging on to guys like Vitali Kravtsov, Nils Lundqvist, you know, for potentially bigger moves, more concrete idea moves down the line in a potentially better market. So I think that Drury really did do a really nice job at the deadline, I think, just in terms of now giving the Rangers a chance to really compete in the first and second rounds. Are they built to go the distance to the cup? No, I don't think so. Not yet. But I think that had they not have made the acquisitions that they did at the deadline, they were one more bad injury away from really just being a very thin team, both on defense and up front, I think. So I do think that they were good options that he brought in. And potentially, if the financial situation works out, you know, maybe they could hold on to one. Yeah, literally being either Frank Vatrano or Andrew Kopp, probably. So we'll see.
Yeah, Mott's gone. I love Mott so far. But let's talk about those guys general when it comes to chemistry, because it seems like right away they were all producing at high levels for the New York Rangers. Seems like they've been Rangers all year long. And is this just because they're best friends with Jacob Trouba and he recruited them, or why is that happening?
Honestly, yes, though. And I think that that's something that we've touched on a little bit on our podcast, is just how unique the locker room dynamic was beforehand. They've got that core, you know, the core 5-6 guy alternate captains that they have that have been together for a really long time, of course, aside from Barkley Goodrow.
Yes, yes.
But but they have that core group, and they have guys that have been together for a while now, and they have great camaraderie. Bringing in a guy like Ryan Reeves has really bolstered the locker room chemistry as well. And it's a very unique thing that they're going on, which I think does stem down from Coach Gallant as well. Just his positive attitude and look ahead kind of mentality, as opposed to, you know, under David Quinn, I think that they overanalyzed themselves and were in their heads a little bit too much. But I think that those guys being friends with Trouba and each other from Michigan, the U.S. National Development Program, I think it only strengthen the locker room dynamic. Honestly, it's more guys that everybody's familiar with, truly, and it didn't change the dynamic at all, which I think was probably just an added bonus for what Drury wanted to do. But I also think it was a strategic plan for sure.
Molly, that leads me to a question that I think we probably would have ended up asking you at some point this offseason, but there's been a very clear missing piece for the New York Rangers the last couple of games. And it's a piece that the Rangers, for whatever reason, have always probably been a little too insecure with. And it's Ryan Strome. And is just how impactful is Strome's absence from this lineup? He certainly isn't the only reason the Rangers have only gotten one of the last 4 points, but are we once again being reminded that this upcoming summer and Ryan Strome's future contract negotiation, it's a bigger deal than we are all letting it on to be?
You know, it's a very, very precarious situation. That's for sure. It really is going to come down to one decision or another, which, I mean, this sounds stupid, but is he going to be a Ranger or is he not? And I think that, you know, at the beginning of the season, it really was apparent that maybe the Rangers won't be able to find somebody better than Ryan Strome to complement Artemi Panarin. And, you know, I definitely think that Strome's absence has had something to do with them looking off, especially on the power play. I think the power play has just not been clicking the same. I think they need those guys that they have on that top unit, like, to be all together in order to have the same. I mean, we've seen it. The second unit barely even touches the ice. Like, that top unit is lethal. So I think taking Strome out of there has definitely disrupted it a little bit as of late. But in terms of playing next to Artemi Panarin, I think that this stretch here has almost had the opposite effect for Strome, in the sense that Andrew Kopp has not looked that bad next to Artemi Panarin at all. If anything, you know, he's been able to produce the same amount as that Strome has, and he's been able to finish Artemi Panarin's feeds, and they've had some pretty nice chemistry really early on. I think Andrew Kopp is a hell of a player, but I don't think that the Rangers are going to be able to afford either of them, to be quite honest with you. It's going to come down to someone taking a team-friendly deal, which might not be an option. I feel like the longer that this thing drags out with Strome, the worse it looks, truly. I did expect something to be done at this point. I believe Larry described it in his latest article as difficult, the contract negotiations, which is not an encouraging sign at all. But I really think it could go either way. Yes, Strome and Panarin have really great chemistry. They've played together for so long. He's an alternate captain. He's a leader on this team. A lot of intangibles that you can't buy. That being said, you put Artemi Panarin next to anybody and he's going to elevate their game. Honestly, it really doesn't matter. He really just, he does that to whoever's playing next to him. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how it unfolds with Strome.
Here's my challenge. You said put anybody next to Artemi Panarin. Well, Gallant said challenge you. He put Johnny Brodzinski next to him and said, yeah, here you go. Let's try and make this work. That didn't.
No, right? You know, yeah, no, but even still, it wasn't that bad. It really, because he always elevates whoever's playing next to him, truly. I wrote about it today with Andrew Kopp. They've looked really nice next to each other, honestly. And I use the phrase, bread might need to get used to a new spread, the bread and butter line, maybe. I know it might be on an expiration date right now, which is pretty sad, but we'll see. So I think
what would we call Kopp then? Margarine?
No, you know, I was thinking about giving in one, but I was like, no, it's too early. It's way too early. Once he's actually, you know, playing next to him for a longer stretch of time, then maybe we could come up with something.
But you did say something interesting that I want to pick at the scab a little bit. You don't think Kopp would be within the Rangers' budget if Strome is too expensive? You think Kopp will also be too expensive?
I do. I think that especially, I think both Kopp and Strome are one tremendous playoff showing away from pricing out the Rangers. I really do. I think if Kopp comes out there, I mean, hey, look at his numbers already since he joined the Rangers. I think he's had like one or two games where he hasn't had a point. If he comes out and lights it up in the playoffs, his price is going up even more. Same with Ryan Strome. If he plays his way into an even bigger contract than he already was going to get with a really good playoff showing. So
future Seattle
we'll Kraken
greats, both of them.
Yeah.
it is a really weird situation because the Rangers have no money over the next couple of years. It's something we're going to talk about a lot this offseason. No shock there. My big theory is that they have to go find, and this sounds pretty easy to do, so I don't know why they just don't do it. They have to go find the next, let me write this down, the next Mika Zibanejad. Okay, so $5.5 million over 5 years. Very interesting. So that's what they're going to have to try and find. And I think you might be right. It might not be both of them, but I thought Kopp would come in at definitely a lower price than what Ryan Strome is going to demand right now.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it also depends on, you know, how he sees himself fitting in the organization. I think that if Strome isn't part of the picture anymore, it would be more enticing to Kopp, because I think Kopp was the one that Gallant was talking about how he's excited for more minutes and, you know, just to have a bigger role. So I think that would be more enticing to Kopp, knowing if he was going to be the second line center. So I think it just depends on where the chips fall, truly.
Molly, we'll I'm going to ask you a personal question that goes right to the New York Rangers. Are you tired from traveling?
Oh my God. Tired is an understatement. I really never thought, like, I thought that, you know, when people talk about traveling a lot, they're like, oh, sometimes I wake up and I don't know where I am. It is 1000% true. Like, it is a thing. I've woken up in cities before it, like, you know, especially the last four city road trip, we had 3 7 a.m. flights. So that's 3 5 a.m. wake up calls every other day. I was not even a human being. And when I go to sleep at night and I wake up the next morning, I truly had to think to myself, what city am I in? But hey, I've seen more places in the last 6 months than I have in my entire 25 years of existence.
So I think it's fair to say for the New York Rangers, after they started doing this in October, along with you, by the way, that not every single night they're going to bring their A game against teams that also haven't maybe traveled recently or have been a little bit more comfortable. Can you at least explain to people out there that might not understand that it's hard to bring your top game every single day, even if you are, say, someone like Igor Shesterkin, who's having one of the best goalie seasons of all time?
1000%. I think that if I am tired just sitting on my ass typing keys on a computer doing all the traveling, imagine what they feel like playing a competitive sport for 60 minutes every night. You know, it's exhausting. It really is. And I was talking about it with Larry. I think Adam Fox in particular looks exhausted. And who wouldn't be with his workload, with his all situation play, with his 22 to 25 minutes a night? I mean, that is exhausting. Plus the burden and the expectations of being a Norris Trophy winner. I mean, also so many of these kids haven't played in a full 82 game season with all the, you know,
what is it, like
things that come with traveling.
I think it's like seven of them.
Yeah, it really, like,
I don't think Ryan Strome
really
has.
Exactly. Or at least haven't, even guys like Chris Kreider haven't done it in 3 years. You know, you fall out of that kind of shape. It's hard to get back into that grind. It's a lot. It really is a lot. And this Rangers season was very, very front loaded, which I was very grateful for. We got all of the Canada trips out of the way when it wasn't negative 10 degrees out. So that was a bonus. But It was a very, very tough travel schedule in the beginning, and they still had as great of a record as they did, which was a huge feat. You know, that's something that cannot be overlooked, is how well they played during that stretch. I think that they're starting to hit a little bit of a wall here. I think they're exhausted, and that Islander game was just encompassed what the Islanders can do to you, and plus with the Rangers being a little bit tired, it was a recipe for disaster. Of course it was not going to be a good game. So I think that that's definitely an underrated part about it, that people aren't taking into consideration, especially the fact that so many of them, this is their first, even if it is their second or third year in the league, this is their first full 82 game season with a normal travel schedule, and it's a lot.
I just love that people like go to their normal day job, whatever they do, and they're pretending about these hockey players like, no, I bring it 100% every day at my job. No, you don't. No, you don't. I know who you are. You follow me on Twitter. You do not bring it 100% every day. You take days off.
But Molly,
it's impossible.
This conversation leads me down a path that Ryan and I have discussed before, but I don't think we've discussed with you. Do you think we'll ever get to a point in the National Hockey League where it becomes a little bit closer to the NBA and we get some strategic benching this time of year?
Think it could.
Yeah, like the three of us all agree, Adam Fox looks tired.
Very.
Load managing.
Why can't he just take a day off? Why can't I give him a week off?
100%. I think that we've seen it a little bit with maintenance days. For practice at the very least, but I don't think it's that crazy of a concept, especially in the last, what, 5-6 games when you're clinched, especially once you're clinched. I mean, I would guess for the Rangers, you know, they're battling for second place, but whatever. I mean,
they know.
I was talking about this with Larry last night. Larry said that he thought that it might be beneficial for them to start on the road, just like to get them into it quicker. And if they win one of two, they're in a pretty good shape. But I was saying that winning home ice advantage might be good for the mental aspect, you know, get some confidence wise and, you know, starting at home. But in reality, the Rangers have played just as well on the road this season as they have at home. I really don't think it matters at all. But I really, to your point, I don't think that that's a crazy concept at all. I think more than anything, Adam Fox deserves a night off, just deserves a game in street clothes in the press box, because my man looks tired. He really does, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all.
He's still magical. He still has all the moments where, like, oh, I am actually Adam Fox. I just actually turned this on. Wow, that's crazy. I'm really
good. But he's made plays, especially as of late, that he, you know, sort of turnovers that, yeah, that he was never making. And I think that's just a glaring sign of exhaustion, truly. I think that he's been a little overworked. And we've asked Gallant about it. We've, you know, said, do you, you know, keep it in the back of your mind that you don't want to overwork your number one defenseman. And in a way, you know, Gallant always likes to say, like, they're professionals, they're used to it and whatever. But, you know, he did admit that it was in the back of his mind. And Fox did talk about, you know, doing the right things off the ice to make sure that he's staying in shape and you know, putting himself in his body in a place to succeed. But, you know, I think it definitely would be beneficial to give a couple of those guys a break, you know, Trouba, Panarin, you know, also just because you don't want to risk it going into the playoffs. You want everybody to be as fresh as humanly possible.
Well, this
was
team...
it.
Oh, sorry, Greg, go ahead.
A very important question I need to ask Ryan before you ask yours. Was it inhumane of the National Hockey League to make the Rangers play on the day the Mets announced DeGrom's injury?
Maybe in your book, Greg.
they played like I was feeling. That's all I'm going to say to that one.
Honestly, I think that just comes with being a Mets fan.
Very does.
It's a constant feeling.
Until the playoffs start, so today is April 4th, as while we're recording this, I can't speak. They have 12 more games until April 29th, and then the playoffs start 3 days later. I fully expect, I mean, can you see really, like, them kind of not even playing anybody against the Capitals the last game of the season, just calling up most of the Wolfpack at that point? I'm just like, screw it, who cares?
I don't know about calling up the players from the Wolfpack. I think that especially when Kako and Rooney comes back, they're going to have like 7 scratches. Like, they have a lot of forwards right now.
Libor's still hanging.
They have a very long bench right now, which I think is pretty beneficial. And I think that they'd be able to get away with alternating, you know, almost like how you do in preseason where you it's like a healthy, you know, mix of lineup staples and then depth guys. I think that they would be able to, you know, kind of flip-flop it and, you know, maybe put the first two lines out there for a night and fill the bottom six with, you know, depth guys, and then vice versa for the next game, and kind of give certain line combinations a night off. I definitely think that because they have so many forwards right now, which I can't remember the last time the Rangers were in that kind of position, I think that they should use that to their advantage.
Totally.
Molly, with Kako's return on the horizon and now Strome's return on the horizon, is there a scenario where Kako is not seeing top 6 minutes when he comes back into this lineup and slots into almost like a children's third line?
Honestly, I mean, aside from the last two games, I think if Vetrano can keep showing what he's been showing, you know, why fix what isn't broken? But if these last two games are, you know, the some of the trends that have been in there, which has also been the top line not really having much of an effect, then I expect a change to be made, and Kako will probably slot back into the top six right off the bat, which honestly I think will happen.
Can we just do it? Like,
yeah. I definitely think that it'll happen. I think it'll happen no matter what, just because it's Kako, and because I think Gallant does really like Kako's style of play. especially with that second line, like you said, Ryan. So I do think that he'll go back right into the top six. But the only, I think it's up to Vetrano. I think that if he, you know, shows a little bit more of what he did in the first couple of games, it might be difficult to take him off. You know, I mean, why fix what isn't broke if Vetrano keeps going at the rate that he has? Because he asked my mom, diehard fan. She loves Frankie V because he shoots the puck.
He's like the only Ranger that is literally the puck. He's the only one.
He shoots the puck. So all the fans that have been complaining for years that the Rangers don't shoot the puck, you cannot say that about Frank Vetrano. Frank Vetrano shoots the puck, and I think that definitely complements the top line.
But Molly, if we're at least making mention of not thinking fixing things that aren't broken, do you think the Rangers will ever get to a point where they ever feel the need to jumble their top four defensemen?
You know, I wrote about this the other day for an early, actually. I was talking about how Gallant sees those top two defensive pairs as interchangeable against top opponents when he's doing matchups and such like that. And I wanted to write about it because, in my opinion, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this, I think Trouba and Miller, as of late, have looked like the top duo. They have just the impact that they have on the game has, in the last couple, you know, game stretch here, has been a bigger impact than Fox and Lindgren, which, you know, tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I think Lindgren has been lackluster on and off for the last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Trouba really has elevated his game.
Oh,
and
Keandre is
I think,
a monster.
Yeah. And Miller, same thing, has just taken off as well on both sides of the puck. So I think that the fact that they haven't changed, I think that that's been beneficial for this team because of how many changes they've seen throughout the lineup, just in terms of integrating new faces from the beginning of the season and to now at the trade deadline and the scattered injuries that they've had, losing Sammy Blais for the season. It really has been, you know, that second line, the right wing has changed a million times. Same with the top line, the right wing has changed so many times. I think that having the top two defensive pairs as a constant the whole season has given the lineup some uniformity. And I think that that's obviously the goal at the end of the day, is to be able to have combinations and duos that are together for so long that the chemistry is just, you know, undeniable, and that it kind of takes over by itself. So, I mean, maybe down the line, depending on if, you know, who they bring in and, you know, because I do think that they, after Braun is gone, they're going to need another veteran defenseman. They're going to need another guy to put into the mix. And depending on who that is, you could see the lines change. But I mean, the defensive pairs change. But right now and going through the playoffs, I don't expect that type top four to change at all.
Well, I think you could make a good argument and a really strong case that nobody has benefited more from the defensive pairings not changing than Keandre Miller, because Trouba has been Mr. Reliable almost since day one, and he's been able to grow and get comfortable with him. But, you know, the three of us have been talking about Adam Fox looking a little lethargic, and I don't think it's me discrediting his Ranger career to say that Ryan Lindgren has left a lot to be desired the last few weeks. I don't know if he's still dinged up. I know he was battling an injury earlier this year. I don't know what it is, but if there was ever a time to try to mix around with who plays with Adam Fox, it seems like a pretty good time to do it.
Who would you go to? Curious.
I think Keandre has earned the glow up. I would put Keandre
next
with
to Fox.
Yeah, I understand any trepidation anyone would have with breaking up Miller and Trouba. Because, again, I do think that pairing has worked spectacularly. But I heard my head coach talk about wanting to experiment. And if I can't experiment now with my defensive pairs, am I ever going to be able to?
You know, you're not. You make a fair point. You absolutely do. I do think that I'm going to come back to the uniformity, though. And I think that they are very comfortable with their top four pairs. And I think that what I'm kind of waiting to see is, you know, the Nemeth Schneider and Braun, all three of them kind of go through like a rotation of both sides. And, you know, I think that's the pair that they should be tinkering with the most so that they could have a strong six going into the playoffs that they think is locked down.
Schneider has some rough nights, but mostly he's been the most impressive of the three.
Schneider?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, he is. But I think that from what I've gathered and you know, watching Gallant's coaching decisions and stuff, they value experience over everything. So if I had to guess, I think that they're going to want to go Nemeth Braun to start the playoffs. And then obviously if it doesn't work out, then turn to Schneider. But I think that they wouldn't have brought in Braun. I mean, he gives them a little bit of a safety net. Someone get hurt, which is good to have. But I think that, well, first of all, you hope that he sees some time because Drury gave up a 2023 third rounder, which isn't nothing. So it'd be kind of counterproductive if he didn't at least, you know, start a couple games in the playoffs to see how it goes.
Final question. It's a pretty easy one. This particular player this week says, I don't want to talk about my game. Should I ever be worried about Igor Shesterkin a day in my life?
No,
yeah.
No. Cool. The short answer is no. Yeah. Yes. Literally, there is nothing. I mean, the fact that he has just looked a little step below superhuman. I mean, that's really it. That's really all it's come down to. And that's not something to be alarmed about at all. And he's really, you could see it in his eyes, especially when he answered that question like that. He's not happy with himself, and he's definitely a guy that holds himself to very, very high expectations. So, you know, people were responding to my quote of that saying, oh, Igor revenge tour, book it. And honestly, yeah, book it. Like, I would expect nothing less.
Guy's a psychopath. Like, he's got he wants to win so bad. Yeah. He's so weird and so eccentric, like most goalies are. But he is he's another breed. He just is.
Yes, agreed.
Molly, final question for me. Do you agree that the correct way you should board a plane is back to front?
Yeah. Yes. That is the only way that it makes sense.
Why do we board front to back?
People.
Yeah, why do we board front to back? Also, if you're paying for a first class ticket, why do you want to spend more time on the airplane? Don't you want to hang out in the airport for as long as you can before you have to get on board?
Oh, it really is. I mean, America, man. Just America.
It's one of the dumbest things out there.
It's just how we do things here, I guess. I don't know. Not much to say about that.
Wild. Molly, I can't thank you enough. Any final closing thoughts, parting shots you want to give your way in a journalism way?
Go UMass.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hey, Frank Martin's UMass, from what I understand.
Well, Vetrano is, and Braun as well.
I was talking about their college basketball coach because that's how I know.
Oh, yes.
These days.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's a psycho, by the way. Yeah, he was a psycho when I was like when we were in college.
Yeah. Well, Mike Vaccaro told me, you know, he went to St. Bonaventure. He's a huge fan, so he was like, oh, like he assured me that he was really good. But quick story before we go. But a couple of years ago, when I think I was a sophomore, the UMass basketball team hired Pat Kelsey out of Winthrop. And it was a big hire for them. It was like one of the new athletic director's new hires, along with Greg Carville, who was going to come in and change the athletic department. He like had won at Winthrop, whatever. They plastered this hire everywhere. Like, my guy's face was on the side of the student union building. He was the cover photo of the Twitter account. Like, they were so excited about this hire. And he didn't show up to the press conference. Apparently, he had met with the team the day before and was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this. And went back to Winthrop and signed a contract to stay for less money to stay at Winthrop. So when they announced Frank Martin as the new basketball coach, the athletic director was like, he passed his first test. He showed up to the press conference.
Incredible. Incredible. That's such a sick move. Molly, can't thank you enough for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Okay, and at the end of every show, I want to thank our NHL Insiders Offer Sheet Club who support this podcast and keep it going. So without further ado, Adam Cohen, Adam Curtulo, Adam Keach, Alex Gardner, Amber Cohensberger, Barbie Chris, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Brett McGinnis, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Broadway Blue Bleeder, Chris Finelli, CJ Stellwagen, Daniel DeZen, David Narodin, Dennis Deitz, Darian, Eric Stagg, Garrett Reynes,
Give Gardner a cup. Get Gretzky, Gareth McFly, Handel, Harrison Hasco, Hip Hop Jorge 89. Or Hip Hop 89. Change his name. Ian Rodriguez, Jake Berkowitz, Jerry Marquez, JD, Jimmy Mack, John Hardesty, Jordan, Justin Friedman, Justin Starr, Chris from Florida, Lazy Gronkowski, Lou Giordano, Lucas K, Matthew Kahn, the legend himself, Max Nielsen, Meatball the Cat, Mike Bucklaw, Neil Grover, Pascal Perrier, Pavel Kocharev, Randy Tesser, Stephen Lohmeyer, Stig Bullbach, Swinegart, and of course on the next page, Tommy Welsh, Tom Sicleri, all the Tommies, Tom Ertz Jr., Tommy O'Neill, Tori from Manhattan, Upstate, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and Winston, the Golden Retriever. Cannot thank you all enough for supporting this podcast. We have a couple fun podcasts coming up. We're going to plan some stuff for the playoffs as well. We're going to do a live drink up if anybody wants to attend. We're working on that right now. We might do a live stream, and we're going to have some little fun events I'm working on. If you want to take a second also, we're also running a donation fund right now for from Hank to Igor, a fund for alopecia. You can check that out on my Twitter link there. Really, I said all I wanted to say this episode, which was this team is good. I don't know what else to tell you. You can play. This is a team that plays against the teams it needs to beat and honestly is coasting towards the end. It's going to be a wild April of games that are just going to be like, how did the Rangers lose this game? And I ask you to be steadfast. Unless the Rangers are getting absolutely shit-stormed and blown out every single game and not fighting back and looking lifeless for games on end, that is the only way my mind will be changed. It's a playoff team. They're ready to play. They've beaten the Penguins. They've come to play against great teams, and that's all you can ask them to do. That's it. I mean, we're in for a really interesting offseason. I have no idea what they're going to do with Ryan Strome. No clue. I think he's gone. Personally, I'm going to miss him a lot. I like Ryan Strome, but he is a god. And I don't know if Kopp is the answer either. Are you comfortable with Kopp at 2C? Those are all questions we're going to have in the offseason. But for right now, I'm going to enjoy the ride to the playoffs. And then once the playoff gets here, I will not enjoy it as I will be suffering from heart trauma. We'll be back later this week, probably Friday afternoon with BSBOT on Patreon. Again, if you'd like to subscribe, very easy. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway. And we cannot thank you enough. We try not to have ads on the show because we like to just go off our community. Honestly, that's a big part of it. So love you guys. We'll be back on Friday. Love you. Bye.